Good morning and praise the Lord. We are beginning a new series of study titled The Bible and the End Times. And I hope and pray that it will be a very rewarding and a very blessed experience in our life. And I want to remind you that we planned for this topic before the Ukrainian war started. Okay? So it is not because of that we have selected this topic. But this is a very relevant topic, and even from this pulpit, not only me but others also, we have touched upon various topics related to prophecy and the end times. 27% of the Bible is prophecy. People have a lot of misunderstanding of prophecy. Many people say that prophecy is a distraction. If that is true, there are 27% of the Bible is then a distraction, you know. We should not see prophecy as a distraction. The problem is when people sensationalize prophecy and trying to set dates, read into the scripture, go beyond what the scriptures say, and then bring up their own theories and trying to accommodate, adjust that with the biblical data. We don't want to do that. I never do that. I'm basically a Bible expositor. So my style of teaching on this one is also to expound passages and verses and biblical concepts that will give us an understanding of some of the very important events in Bible prophecy. So it will give us a basis and a foundation and a place to an approach to Bible prophecy through which we will be able to understand some important concepts. And once we understand those concepts, we will be able to make appropriate conclusions. And when we hear about things and when we read about wars and rumors of wars and what is going on in the world, we will be able to make the right judgment without sensationalizing and without going beyond the scripture. So our first study under Bible and End Times will be on eschatological days. I believe this is very important for us to know. We should have a place to start the study of prophecy, and we won't be able to study everything, but certain important concepts that would help us to understand the milestones in Bible prophecy. The first one is probably the best way to approach this is to study the days in relation to prophecy, eschatological days. Eschatology is the study of end times, last things in the Bible. In relation to last things, there are several days mentioned in the scripture which gives us a clue to understand prophetical passages. The first eschatological days we should know, many of us know about it, but we should fine-tune our understanding. Last days. So what does it mean, the last days? The very famous verse is Hebrews chapter 1, verse 2. It is also... it is important for us to know these verses also, so it is good to locate them and know this. In Hebrews chapter 1 verse 1, God who at various times and in various ways spoken in times past to the fathers by the prophets, verse 2, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son. So, we get a clear understanding of the last days from this verse. That is, the last days means the last days in relation to Bible prophecy, and the last days here in this verse means messianic days, when the Messiah has appeared in history. That is, from the first coming of Christ, his incarnation, to his second coming, that time period is the last days. Between the first coming and the second coming. So we are in the last days. Not only we are in the last days, when Jesus appeared here, that was the beginning of the last days. So that is why the writer to the Hebrews is saying that in these last days he has spoken to us. So when Jesus was here 2000 years ago, when he proclaimed the gospel as the Messiah of God, Messiah, the Christ, that was the last day. That was the inauguration of the last days. It is the messianic age when the Messiah came in history and he proclaimed the way of salvation, and the messianic days continue until the Messiah will come back again. That is why the writer of the epistle to the Hebrews is saying, in these last days, God has already spoken to us in his Son. So in that sense, we are in the last days. Now, another reference to the last days, there are several, but we are looking into the most important ones. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Very familiar verse, 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1. But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. Two words here, one is last days and the next one is perilous times. So, know this, continue to know, it is in the present tense, ginosko, you know, it is Timothy, you continue to realize, know that we are in the last days. So it is good for us to continue to know that according to God's prophetic timetable, last days are here. And the Messiah has already came. And the Messiah has returned now to heaven. He will come back. And the messianic age was inaugurated when Jesus of Nazareth came as the Son of God, as the Savior of the world. It will be consummated at his glorious appearance. So, the last days, this extended period of time, but within that time period, there will be perilous, dangerous days, violent days, fierce days. So, a good example will be, you know, we have been going through the winter season, the winter time, the winter period. And the 3 months of winter or 4 months of winter, within that time period, there are certain times in which we get the snow, a blizzard, ice storm, sleet, not every day. So there are certain time periods within that winter season when things get worse. From bad to worse. So in the same way, within the last time, we are in the last time. In this last time, during this period of time, there will be certain days with varying degrees of danger and intensity. Intensity and frequency may vary from time to time. So as we come to the very last days of the last days, it will intensify even more. So that is why, you know this, continue to realize this, Timothy, that in the last days, we are in the last days, perilous times will come. So perilous times are the plural, you know, perilous times will come, varying degrees of danger and difficulty, and periods of problems and violence as we come to the close of the last days. The word perilous means fierce or violent or harsh or rough. This word is used only one more time in the New Testament. It's good to know that. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 8. Verse 28, I believe. Matthew chapter 8 and verse 28. The only other occurrence of this particular word in the New Testament, in Matthew chapter 8 and verse 28. I'll read it, Matthew 8:28, about the demon-possessed man. When he had come to the other side, to the country of the Gergesenes, Gadara in other gospels, there met him two demon-possessed men coming out of the tombs, exceedingly fierce. That is the word. Exceedingly fierce. Kalipos. Exceedingly violent. Exceedingly fierce. That is exactly the word Paul used in 2 Timothy chapter 3. That is, within the last days, there will be periods of time in which the frequency and the occurrence of exceedingly fierce things will increase. So we see that in different parts of the world. So sometimes, you know, the older generation say, we haven't seen it, these things during our lifetime. You are right. You know, even though they lived, even though our parents and our grandparents lived in the last days, many of the fierce things we are seeing today, they haven't seen. Not because that they were not in the last days. From the period of Jesus Christ, we are in the last days. But within the period of the last days, the extended period of time, there will be periods of more fierce and violent things happening around the world. Then the same thing phrase occurs 2 Peter 3:3. Next one is the day of our Lord Jesus Christ, or the day of Christ. And what is the difference between the day, last days, and the day of our Lord Jesus Christ? The day of our Lord Jesus Christ is a reference to the day of the rapture, when we believers will be seeing him face to face. That's what we have been listening from Brother Clifford during the ministry time. It is the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the day of the rapture, when he will return for his church, for his people, and we will be with him forever. He will welcome us and we will welcome him, and we will go with him to our Father's home. It will be the day of rejoicing, the day of blessing. And that day will take us to the judgment seat of Christ. So it will be basically a day of rejoicing, day of reunion, a day of rewards, and a day of blessings for God's people, because we are in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ. So let us read some of these very important verses in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. It's good to know these verses in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 5. It is about a brother who lives in sin, and he comes under the discipline of the assembly. Verse 5, deliver such a one to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. Or in the day of Jesus in some manuscripts, or in some others have the day of Christ. So that the person, the sinning believer who comes under discipline, his flesh may be destroyed, and he may come to repentance, and his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 8 also. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 8. 7 and 8, so that you come short in no gift, eagerly waiting for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will also confirm you to the end that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Philippians chapter 1 verse 6. Philippians chapter 1 verse 6. Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. And verse 10, Philippians 1:10, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. So we are in the last days, and we can expect perilous times within the framework of the last days. But we are not in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are looking for the day of the Lord Jesus Christ, when he will come back from heaven and we will meet him in the rapture. It will be a day of reward, reunion, and a day of rejoicing and a day of blessing. The day of the Lord Jesus Christ, when he will be glorified among his people, and he will be the bridegroom of the bride, and that relationship will be consummated, and we will see him in all his glory. So that is the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. The next one is another phrase which is frequently found in the Old Testament, probably only four times in the New Testament. There are a number of references to it, hundreds of references to the day of the Lord in the Old Testament. But that particular name, phrase, day of the Lord, occurs 19 times in the Old Testament, only four times in the New Testament, even though there are references to it. So, what is the day of the Lord? We will look at some of those verses. Old Testament, in almost all the prophetic books, have something to say about the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord is an extended period of time. And that time period begins with the rapture, and it will extend to the tribulation. It will extend to all the seal judgment, trumpet judgments, bowl judgments. It will extend to millennium. So it is basically a day of judgment, a day when God will directly intervene with man's affairs in history, will judge him for his sin and unrighteousness here and now upon this world, and it will also usher in blessings for God's people. So the first part of it is all judgment, gloom and darkness, but it will lead to the millennial blessings also. One of the great prophetic scholars of our times was Dr. John Walwood of Dallas Theological Seminary. I just want to read his definition of the day of the Lord. Day of the Lord is an extensive time period which includes not only the tribulation and judgments taking place at the second advent of Christ, but which will include also the entire millennial reign of Christ as a time period in which the Lord deals directly with human sin. So, roughly speaking, or basically speaking, after the day of Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, the church is gone. And then the whole history, world enters into the day of the Lord. And the day of the Lord will be an extended period of time. Day of tribulation, day of wrath, day of judgments. And the day in which God's wrath will be poured out upon this world. It will take us to the second coming, the glorious appearance of Christ, and all the judgments associated with that. And it will take us to millennium. So, judgment followed by blessings for God's people. So, we will read some of those very, very important verses from the prophecy of Joel. chapter 1, beginning in chapter 1, verse 15. Prophecy of Joel, chapter 1, verse 15. Alas for the day, for the day of the Lord is at hand. It shall come as destruction from the Almighty. All the verses in the Old Testament dealing with the day of the Lord reflects doom and gloom. Okay, it shall come as destruction. Look at chapter 2. Prophecy of Joel, chapter 2. Blow the trumpet in Zion and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming, for it is at hand. A day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness, like the morning clouds spread over the mountains. A people come great and strong, the like of whom has never been, nor will there ever be any such after them, even for many successive generations, probably describing an end time war during the day of the Lord. We have in the next book, the prophecy of Amos, we have some very graphic verses, Amos chapter 5 and verse 18. Woe to you who desire the day of the Lord, for what good is the day of the Lord to you? It will be darkness and not light. It will be as though a man fled from a lion and a bear met him. For as though he went into the house, leaned his hand on the wall, and a serpent bit him. Is not the day of the Lord darkness and not light? Is it not very dark with no brightness in it? So, that is the picture, you know, and all the other verses which, you can look in your Bible, it all talks about the judgment associated with the day of the Lord. But the judgments will give way finally to all the blessings which the Lord has promised to his people. Some New Testament references in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. So we are not looking for the day of the Lord. We are looking for the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 2. But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them, as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. 2 Peter chapter, another important verse is in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And verse 2, that is also very much in relation to the prophetic day of the Lord. Chapter 2, verse 2, I'll read from verse 1. Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come. KJV and NKJV has day of Christ, but in the margins, all of them have given, including J. N. Darby's translation, that it should be translated, it should be read as the day of the Lord. Because, look at verse 2. You should not be shaken in mind or troubled either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come. If the day of Christ is coming, we don't have to be panicking. There is no need of alarm. nobody is misleading us. But some people, the believers in Thessalonica, were misled by the false teachers that the tribulation is already here. That the day of the Lord is already here. The judgment is here. That is why Paul said, let no one deceive you, either by letter or by word of mouth. You know, like a pseudonymous letter. You know, as an or even anonymous letter circulating as though it is from the apostles that, oh, the tribulation has already come. Paul is saying that you should not be shaken in mind by hearing that, because the day of the Lord is not here yet. It is in the future. So the day of Christ there actually means the day of the Lord. Now, so we have looked at 3 days, a couple of more references you can look at. We will look at one more. Look at the next slide. Okay, two more. Day of God. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 12. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 12. 2 Peter 3:12, we read, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Again, it is talking about the day of judgment. So it will be reasonable for us to conclude that Peter is the only one who uses this phrase, that the day of God here is synonymous with the day of the Lord. So Peter uses it slightly different than the other writers. Not as the day of the Lord, the day of judgment, the day of doom and gloom, but as the day of God. So it is better to take it as synonymous with the day of the Lord. I think the emphasis of Peter is that when all those judgments happen upon this world, God is in control. It is his day. It is not man's day. Man does not have the ultimate word concerning anything. That is even a great comforting thought for us every day. You know, no one else, no presidents, no prime ministers, you know, no senators, no world powers, they don't have the last word about the world, about history, about your life and my life. Only God has the final word. So that is the emphasis. That is day of God in the sense that it is synonymous with the day of the Lord. It talks about the divine nature and the attributes of God, his omnipotent power, sovereignty and authority, and one who is in charge of that day. Who is in charge of the day of the Lord? The Lord himself. So Peter mentions here about the day of God, when there will be fire and when the elements will melt with fervent heat, about a great judgment scene. Finally, day of eternity. 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 18. Okay. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. Amen. So that phrase, now and forever, eis hemeron aionis. That is how in the Greek text. That means, to him be the glory unto the day of eternity. That is how literally the text reads. But people may not really understand what is the day of eternity. It is equivalent to saying forever and ever. Forever and ever. That is a future day in which
the gates of eternity will be open. That future eternity that will be inaugurated on that particular day when God has accomplished his entire redemptive purpose for the nations, for the church, for the world and for his history. Then the day of eternity will be inaugurated. So forever and ever. New American Standard Bible translate instead of forever and ever, that is why they translated it as more literal translation, day of eternity. J.N. Darby, who translated the Bible by himself, you know, and also into French and also into German to English. He was a meticulous scholar, so he really understood the significance of it. So instead of forever and ever, J.N. Darby also translated it as day of eternity. Holman Christian Standard Bible, ESV, I think most of the modern translations, many of them translate it as day of eternity. But the idea is forever and ever. That is why other translations have it that way. But it literally reads day of eternity. So these are the eschatological days. Its nuances and meanings are different. Some of them is in the present, some of them in the future, some of them are extended period of time, some of them only denotes one particular day. So we are in the last days, and within the last days there will be frequent periods of terrible times, horrible times, violent days. So when we read about such things, we should not be disturbed. Timothy, continue to know this, that during the last days, perilous days, times will come. Then we looked at the day of the Lord Jesus Christ, the day of the rapture, rejoicing, reunion and rewards. Then we looked at the day of the Lord, primarily judgment, followed by blessings for God's people. Synonymous usage, day of God. And finally, the day of eternity, which is in some of the translations translated as forever and ever. The best is yet to come. That is what the word of God reminds us. For us and for all those who have put their trust in him. But for the rest of the world, they are waiting for the day of the Lord. And it will also be the day of God. He will be in charge. And God will have the final word concerning everything in the universe. And after all that is said and done, the day will be inaugurated when we will be ushered into the eternity to come forever and ever. Shall we pray? Loving Father, we thank you for this amazing book and the amazing revelation in this wonderful book, which talks about the present and the future, and which also talks about the past. And we see our Lord Jesus Christ as the central figure in the unfolding drama of redemption. We thank you that he is our Savior and Lord, and what a joy for us to worship him and remember him this morning. What a joy and what a delight for us to enjoy his word, both during the time of the ministry and also during the time of Bible teaching. Pray that these precious truths may encourage us and strengthen us, comfort us and console us, and equip us and strengthen us to lead and to live a victorious life in this sinful world. We are in the last days and perilous times are around us. Protect us, watch over us. Give us a sense of victory, hope, peace and consolation. We thank you and praise you in the precious name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.